with her husband, John. Helen and John are newer friends, but I feel like we're old friends. Helen and John have been pastoring for many, many years and giving leadership to an amazing work in Surrey called Relate Church. And just a phenomenal church that has flourished for many decades. And it's been always, I've always known about it and been so glad for the work that they've been doing. In the last number of years, Helen's been working with a ministry called The Pastorate and their Emerging Leaders Program. And Helen mentors young pastors. And this year, I joined as a co-guide, and we're kind of one of four guides that are mentoring 24 pastors this year. And so we've been working side by side and had just a blast loving on younger pastors. And I got to tell you, like, she's my Yoda. Like, I'm learning from, yeah, yours too, you know? Yeah, and so Helen has just been such a gift to me personally, and it's been delightful. And anytime I've heard her speak about anything, even just a sidebar comment, I have been inspired. And so I was so thrilled to be able to invite her to come, and she gave us a hearty yes, like, of course. So can we give it up a warm welcome this morning for Helen? Bless you.
Thank you so much, Pastor. It's been such a joy to get to work alongside your pastor. And it's about time we kind of hung out. I finally got to, like, hug Angel, which is so right. And I like singing beside you and worshiping beside you. She's a bit loud like me. I'm like, we would get on fabulous. Her laugh is loud. I'm like, oh, she laughs loud like me. I like that. It's amazing. Thank you for those kind words. And it's such an honor to be with all of you today and to worship with you. I think it's so special when we can hang out together. We're all leading in different ways, but it just gives me such hope for our city when I can come here in Coquitlam in this beautiful church and with this beautiful congregation. And there we are in Surrey leading and have loved it. We just celebrated 40 years since we planted Relate Church, formerly known as Victory Christian Center. We are so old. That's the thing I can't get over. I'm looking at all the photos of, you know, they pull them all out at the 40-year reunion. It's a terrible thing to do to people like me that have passed over into my 70s in the last few months. And it's like, how can I be this old? But when you see the pictures, you're like, yeah, I really am. But it's okay. The best days are still to come. And I'm excited about the days ahead. But being here is a true honor and a privilege. And it's fun to have my husband here with me as well. And I don't know if he feels the same way every time I speak, Pastor. He feels very differently. I don't think he always feels like it's very sweet and gracious. I have moments of it, but yeah, he gets the whole picture. But being here is an honor and a privilege, and I don't take this for granted. So we've prayed, we've sung, we've received communion together, and now I pray that the words that I share would just land on your hearts with the sense of an invitation. Because as I was getting ready, prayer, you're in times of prayer and fasting, as we are at our church as well. And prayer is such a huge subject, an overwhelming subject. And it's so easy to feel like, where do I even begin? And I just feel like God just gave me just a few thoughts that I want to share with you today. Because when it comes to prayer, I'm going to be honest with you. I've had a complicated relationship over the years with prayer. I want to be a good little prayer warrior. I want to do it all right. I am kind of a rule follower. I married the man that is the least rule follower in the whole world. As a matter of fact, the most dangerous thing I ever did when I was 15 years old. All you young people, that's a sin. But I told that to my grits, not really. But when he came and invited me, do you want to go out for a drive? And I thought that Johnny Burns in Killarney High School was really cute. So I said yes. And kind of one of the first really disobedient things I did was I skipped out of school for the first time in my entire life, but it was worth it because he takes me out. We went out and the first question he asked me, so someone told me if I ever ask you out not to mention God, because you'll talk my ear off, so tell me why I shouldn't mention God. And so that was the beginning of our relationship. I was a teenager in love with Jesus, went to a Mennonite Brethren church in Vancouver, and that is my history, a German-speaking Mennonite Brethren church. I'm not going to preach in German today, but that was my beginnings. And so I so wanted to do the right thing. I've always been a good little rule follower. And so when it comes to prayer, I'm like, show me what to do. Tell me what to do, and I'll try to follow the formula. And so I remember reading a book after John and I had just been filled with the Holy Spirit, and our life had gone through such a transformation. I'm like, I'm going to learn how to do this. And the book was called Could You Not Tarry 1 Hour? And I'm sure it is really a fantastic book. However, in it was a bit of a formula for how you should meet with God. And it was broken into a 1 hour slot of time of prayer. And so it encouraged you. Well, maybe it didn't, but I thought I should have a timer. And so it was set into 4 quadrants of prayer. And so I had my timer and I'm praying and praying and thinking, I have prayed for 15 minutes. I'm sure of it. It was about 3.5 minutes. So that was about how well I was doing in the realm. I kept looking at the timer. And so finally, I put the book on the side and the timer on the side, and it was a disaster. And I want so much to do it well. And so I think as I share today, what I want to share with you is the heart of the Father towards me, someone who wants to do it well. John and I are in the middle of watching The Chosen. We've decided to do this again during this time and have been watching it. And I'm looking at the life of Jesus. I know it's a movie, but it's been very beautiful to watch and to just kind of look at this story of Jesus and how he prayed and met with the Father. And it's inspiring again that it's such a personal, intimate relationship. It's not formulaic. It's not you should or you shouldn't. And I'm good at the shoulds and shouldn'ts, but that is not what God wants from us. He wants a heart connection. And so what I want to share with you today is really out of that. How can we connect with the heart of God in a way that actually is enjoyable and wonderful and life-giving and not one that makes you feel condemned and you're really bad at this? Because that's what the enemy was telling me. You're a bad prayer warrior. You're never going to get this right. And I didn't even enjoy praying because I was trying so hard to do it in a way that actually was not creating a connection with me and God, but rather a real disconnect. And maybe some of you have found that as well. Today, I am in a very different place, and I'm so grateful for it, because to me, my prayer life is not religious duty and obligation, but it's been shaped by a pursuit of intimacy with my Father, a relationship that is intimate and deep. And how do I describe it? It is a felt close connection to the heart of God. It's required a lot of openness and honesty, being real. God can handle my real. And it's a two-way conversation. I'm not just talking all the time, but listening as well, because he wants to talk to us. And though my heart connection to God is not the same as my heart connection to my husband, a lot of what I've really come to understand about the relationship that I have with God, I've learned a lot of it in our relationship. We've been married now for 51 years. I know it is such a long time. Even I can't believe it's been that long. And we have gone through seasons of totally feeling disconnected, and then times of true understanding and intimacy and a closeness. And one time I was thinking about this, I thought about just Wi-Fi. You know how when you go with a phone and you want to get on Wi-Fi, you have to connect to the source to get a download. And so often we live disconnected. And in my heart relationship with my husband, if we want a heart-to-heart connection, we have to be attentive to it. We have to be connected. We have to have a sense of a longing and a want to be connected. And how easily that connection breaks. How easily we become distanced from each other. And it is a constant pursuit of connection. And we work with that in our marriage relationship, but how much more I need that with God, a closeness, a felt closeness. And as I was preparing this message in just my heart, what I often was thinking about, the whole thought about turning my face toward God, John and I get to teach at a lot of marriage conferences over the years. And one of the things we've often had couples do, and here they are at a marriage conference. They want to grow in their marriage and their intimacy and their relationship with God and maybe get some tools on how to have that. One of the things that we have done during the marriage conference often is ask them to take the couple that they would, a husband and wife, take their chairs and turn them towards each other and go knee to knee and eyeball to eyeball. And for some couples, it's very uncomfortable. Even though they're at a marriage conference, even though their longing is to grow. And then we've told them to look eye to eye. And it's amazing to us. It never ceases to amaze me how often the tears start to fall. Because it's been so long since they've actually looked at one another, turned their face toward one another, and allowed, the eyes can be the window to the soul, and allowed their eyes to actually look and gaze upon one another. It's uncomfortable if it's been distant for a season. It's uncomfortable if there's something in our heart that's blocking that connection. But the goal is to get that connection, and it's a beautiful thing to see what can happen if hearts will just turn, if eyes will turn towards each other and look at one another and not look at all the things we that are blocking, but looking toward one another. It's like a wall comes down and intimacy can be pursued and a connection can happen in a way that is actually life-giving and meaningful and brings freedom and joy into our hearts. And I feel like that is what the Father is asking of us today, and I want to share into this, is that it's turning our hearts toward, which means turning our eyes toward, toward God, to not hiding, but with an open and honest relationship. And where there's been disconnect, and it's easy to get disconnected. Sometimes we're so busy running, and I've done this as a pastor, running and working for God, that I've neglected my relationship with God. And I've realized that I can only operate to the best of my ability as a child of God, as a daughter of God, if my heart is truly connected to His. Because true intimacy comes from really knowing God and His heart towards you. Just a quick little story. Our daughter Angela, she gave us, gave me and gave both of us actually for my 70th, she gave me something called StoryWorth, and it's beautiful. And what it is where every week I get a question, and a question, it's a pretty bold question that would be asked, a little bit of my history, and what happens every week you kind of write a story, and at the end of a year they put it into a book and they bind it, and it's full of pictures in your story, and it's a gift that you have after a year, where someone asks, it's a beautiful, if you ever want to give somebody a gift, it's a good one to gift, especially someone who's a little, maybe along in life, that you can get, draw that out of them, because it's making me think. And last week my question was, what is one small decision you made that has carried a big impact on your life? And I have many, but this was the beginning. Years and years ago, where John and I, we had been married now for 4 years. I was pregnant with my youngest daughter, Ashley. I have three daughters. And my youngest daughter, Ashley, John had just graduated as a dentist from UBC. And everything in the outside world looked beautiful, but our inside world was broken. Our marriage was very fractured. It wasn't because of any infidelity or any abuse, but we had just, talk about a disconnect, so far from each other. And now it seemed like everything should be at its best, and John had already moved up for the first 6 years of his dental practice. He practiced in Williams Lake up in the north in BC. He had just built a new dental practice. We were building a beautiful new home, but our lives were broken. I was distant from God. I hadn't been in church for almost 4 years. And if you had asked me as that young teenager in love with Jesus if that could ever happen, I would have said never, but it did. I got disconnected. And so one night, John was already living in northern BC, and I was at home, tucked my little girls, Angela and Danica, into bed. And as I was walking back to my bedroom, I looked at my big pregnant belly and I thought, what have I done with my life? What have I done? How can I be here? I didn't want to move up north to be with John. It felt like it was too broken to find my way home. I was too ashamed to go to church on my own. I just, my life felt so broken. I felt like a failure as a mother, a failure as a wife, a failure as a child of God. And in that moment, I made one of the best decisions, one small decision that changed the rest of my life. And I went into my bedroom and I knelt. I went onto my knees in tears. And in tears, I cried out to God. And I remember these words, said, God, I've had life with you and I've had life without you, and I cannot live without you anymore. And so, God, if you would just forgive me for what I've done wrong, I just ask that you would just come and heal my broken heart. And in that moment, I had the most glorious outpouring of love that I encountered at my bedside. See, I thought God was mad at me. I thought God was disappointed in me. I thought I was ashamed of how my life was. And so rather than turning to God, I just kept running and trying so hard to make my marriage and everything work, and nothing was working until I finally came to the end of myself, bowed my knees, and turned my eyes upon Jesus and allowed his gaze to fall upon mine. And in that moment, I did not feel like a failure. I felt loved. I felt redeemed. I could feel the healing power of Jesus working in my life. And I remember waking up that next day and feeling like the sky was bluer and the grass was greener, and I felt like 1,000 pounds had come off of my body because I had encountered Jesus. I turned my face towards him, and that's really what I want to share with you today. In those places where we feel broken and disconnected and shame, the enemy is doing everything he can to keep you disconnected, and all it takes is just coming to the end of yourself and turning towards Jesus and finding how much he loves you in that moment. And so that's why I'm sharing this morning. It's an invitation. Come home. Come home to the heart of God, because true intimacy comes from really knowing God and his heart towards you. In that day, I felt his love. I can remember opening my Bible that I hadn't read for years now. And the first scripture that just illuminated on the pages to me was found in Jude verse 24. And it said, now unto him who is able to keep you and present you faultless and glorious before his presence with exceeding great joy. I read that and I thought, oh God, that's how you see me. See, that's what happens when you turn toward God. And as I turned towards God, it changed everything in my heart. But it didn't just change my heart. It changed our marriage. I believe on the other side of that is God. And I remember praying. I said, God, I don't know if John will take this journey with me, but I am not doing the rest of my life without you. I have to do this with you. And as God began to change my life, it became a loud invitation to John's heart. And together we have walked out this journey, but it started with one decision: to just reconnect with God and to allow his heart to be the loudest voice in my life. And I pray that that is true for you, because our connection and relationship with God in prayer is never going to happen by trying harder. You can't try hard enough. God's done it all. Our job is just to receive it and to live in that, but then and to grow in that relationship with him. And here it has to start with that your relationship is built with really knowing his heart towards you and trust. Today, you don't have to question if I trust the character of God. I may fail, others may fail me, but God has never failed me. And I now, in prayer, I trust and know the love that God has for me. And you will not flourish in your relationship with God if you don't know that. If you feel like he's mad at you and he's distant from you, guess who moved? It wasn't him. It was you. And that's exactly what happened in my life. When our connection is built on God and his love for us, fear has to be silenced. I don't fear looking at God, even if I mess up. And yes, I am not a perfect Christian. And there's times that I feel like, oh God, I messed up. But he never looks at me with condemnation and shames me and makes me feel guilty and unloved. If I run to him, I know his affection is toward me. And your intimacy with God, the depth of your prayer life can only grow in proportion to how you know his heart towards you. True intimacy only grows and flourishes out of a foundation of trust. And I know these are familiar words to you. I know they're familiar words to me as well, but how often do we live separate from the actual revelation of that incredible love that God has for us? It silences the fear. I do not have to perform. It's so easy for me, even coming here today, knowing what a wonderful church you are and you have such great leaders, and feeling like I have to perform, and I realize I don't have to perform. I'm not here to perform. I'm just here to bring the word, or to bring the love of Jesus to you. Because if it's performance, I'm not giving you anything. But if it's birthed out of a relationship with God, then we have something to give. Think of the relationships you have. How strong are they when it comes to intimacy? How's your marriage? How's your relationship with your children? When it's based on performance and I should or I must, rather than pure love and acceptance, it's never going to be what it could be. Let's take the walls down and bring the love of God into our hearts, which then will be shown into the relationships we have with others as well. We flourish where we're accepted. That moment with God, if you had asked me as a young child, yes, I know God loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. But that day that I found myself so far from the heart of God was the day I truly knew it. And once you've tasted of that, there's no going back. There just isn't. And so we flourish in that atmosphere of acceptance, knowing God accepts us. God loves us. He wants us close with all our baggage. He already knows it's there. That's why he invites us, come, bring it all to me. Come to me, draw close to me. He wants us to, he's close to the brokenhearted, his presence always with us. Like we heard already, where can I flee from your presence? You can't, he's right there with you. So this is one thing that I've learned in the most stressful times. John and I literally have walked through one of the hardest years of our lives in the last couple of years. Feels like we turned a corner last year. It was hard. It was intense. I think, devil, we've already fought so many battles. What in the world is this? I thought he had nothing left to come at us with. But, you know, the enemy is relentless, and he will bring all kinds of crazy things because he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And it's during those times I've had to know who God is, who I am, what his word says, that he's got my back, that I'm standing in him. I've had to get up and fight in ways that I've never known I had to fight before. And I've asked myself in the hardest places, God, are you with me now? And so I want to ask you, when you, and I've known he is, but I have to ask myself, God, where are you right now? Do you feel his closeness, or do you feel the taunt of the enemy, or the fear and the anxiety that wants to come and torment you? Because the enemy is a tormentor. And if I did not know God's love toward me and my foundation in him and the truth of the word of God, I would have floundered. But you know what, devil? Is that the best you got? Because I'm still here. We're going on. And the weapons that we fight with, they are not weapons of this world. They are weapons of the spirit that he has given us to battle in. So ask yourself, pay attention. Where are you sensing God is right now? And if you feel there's a distance, well, get close, because it won't happen by accident. It's going to happen with intentionality. A great marriage doesn't just happen because you married the right guy or the right girl. Are you kidding? A great marriage takes a lot of work. A beautiful garden takes a lot of work. There has to be intentionality put into it. There has to be some investment on our part to actually see what we want. And intimacy with the Holy Spirit, it's not work that I'm talking about when it comes to, we have to work for our salvation, but there has to be effort on our part to draw close. In a marriage, we have to make effort. Just this week, we had something happen that was really stupid. And I didn't want to talk to John for a little while. I was kind of mad at him. Or not mad at him so much, I was mad at the situation. And I'm just blah. I don't want to talk.
You were mad.
A little bit. A little bit. I might have had a bit of reason, but that's okay. I mean, who decided to bring him along today? I was kind of. But you know what? We didn't stay there, did we? You have to make a decision. This is stupid. Why am I allowing this frustration to affect what we have? And I realized in a moment, this battle is not about us. It's a battle from the enemy that has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And it's in those moments, this is why it takes intentionality. Move closer. Don't move away. Move closer. Look toward that person. Look toward God rather than away. It takes intentionality. It takes consistency and persistency. You're going to have to fight for this, like I said, because you have an enemy. And if you aren't in a battle right now, I have good news for you. Just wait. It's coming. It's always coming. There is a battle that is going to happen. And so you have to do the things that it takes to draw close to one another and to draw close to God. It takes intentionality. Dedicate quality time, intentional time to spend with God and protect that time. You know, today I don't have three little girls that were all born within 3.5 years that I'm chasing all the time. But even when I did, I learned how to get up just a little bit earlier. Because I know if I hadn't spent time with Jesus, I was going to have a harder day. I have learned the value of setting time apart to spend with God. Today I have a lot more time and a lot more bandwidth, if you will, to be able to do that. But it's so easy to fill those spaces up. And I don't want to do that. I want to make a priority my priority. And for you, you might do good. Whatever time of the day works for you, figure it out. But then do it. Because if you don't have that margin and you don't have that intentionality, something's going to come along and take it away. And for me, the easiest time to guarantee I am going to have margin is to just get up earlier. And you think, I'm not a morning person. Well, be one. Figure it out, or whatever it takes for you. I'm not trying to, you know, force you to do that, but for me, that's what it was. I knew that if I had spent that time with God, everything seemed to go smoother. Not that battles didn't come, because they sure have, but I have protected that time. And here's the thing. What gets neglected is not protected. My marriage isn't protected. My church isn't protected. My heart isn't protected. I need to set that time apart. And so for me, a lot of that has been being a student of the Word of God. Study to show yourself approved unto God. You need to know what the Word of God says. When the enemy comes, and he will come, when lies and deceit come, we live in a world full of lies, opinions, so many people telling you what to think or what the Word says. Do you know what the Word says? Because when we are a student of the Word of God, when we love the Word of God, and it is the foundation you build your life on, you will stand on that. And I have scripture that I've committed to my heart that in times of prayer, I am declaring it because I know that it is the truth. I can stand on it with confidence, with trust, because I know he has been faithful. After 51 years of marriage or after 40 years of leading a church, I can look backwards and see there is not one time, not once, that God didn't show up. Not once. He has always been there. He has always been faithful. And that there's not many things I love about getting older, but that I like. Because the stretch of life that I have lived has proven to me the greatness and the faithfulness and the love of God. And I know that that will take me into the years ahead, and I have such faith for the future. Doesn't mean we're not going to hit hard places. Doesn't mean we're not going to have to, our faith won't get tested. It will get tested. But when you know God, and you know his love towards you, that faith is going to stand the test of time. And what am I standing on? The foundation I stand on? It is the Word of God. It has been sown into my heart. And so then I can stand on not my emotions, but on faith in what God says, and it will carry you. So when you're praying, start with gratitude. Always start there. God, look what you've done. Like I said, all, you know, my song that I sing, everyone's singing it, and every funeral it is, and it'll be at mine too, I hope, when that day comes. All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Start with gratitude. I've learned how to count it all joy when I fall into trouble and temptations. That I'm looking at it, and I thank God that in the middle of it, I'm not doing this work on my own. I'm not battling on my own. I am battling in the power and the strength of God. So I start with gratitude. Remember what he's done. Worshiping gratitude takes a focus off of me and puts it where it belongs. Turn your eyes toward Jesus. And when you look at him, gratitude, your focus on God, will keep the grumbling away, because grumbling happens when the focus is on ourselves. One's productive and powerful, and the other is so counterproductive. One of the things that I've learned, too, is invite God to search your heart. Invite him to. I've had to have a daily practice of just allowing God search my heart. And I feel like those scriptures guide me almost more than anything. Proverbs chapter 4 and 23 is probably the scripture that I quote most often and live out of most. Above all else, guard your heart, because everything you do will flow from it. I love it in the Amplified. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. Psalm 51, verse 6, how often I've come here. It says in the Amplified, you desire truth in the inmost being, and in the hidden part of my heart, you will make me to know wisdom. I go there often. God, I don't know what this trouble is in my heart, but you do. God, would you come close in this moment and search my heart? God, would you help me to know wisdom? Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a right and a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. When I invite the Holy Spirit to just come, search me, God. Know my heart. If there's anything in here that is creating a chasm or a wall between you and me, God, will you take it away? And God is so faithful to show me what's going on. And when that he does that, it's so beautiful because we don't have to hide. He already knows what's there. It's like, put a searchlight on my heart, God. You know what it is, but I need to know what it is so that I don't operate out of a spirit of fear or a spirit of jealousy or a spirit of insecurity or a spirit of shame. God, help me remove that so that I can look to you. And I love the scripture that says, those who look to him, this is at the very end of my notes here, Psalm 34, verse 5, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. No fear. So today, just as I close this, I had lots I didn't read, but I pray that you would have this sense of an invitation. God wants to be so close to you. I know there'd be some sitting in here today that go, but you don't know what I did this week. You don't know what's going on here. It doesn't matter. God knows, and he's just still inviting you to come home to his heart. He's inviting you to just leave it with him. I love that we've received communion, which is such a beautiful place of receiving his body and his blood and sharing in this meal together. But this place where we can just come and say, search me and know me. God, you're here. You want to meet with me. And today that we would just allow him to come close. Can we just close our eyes for a moment? I want to pray with you. It was 46 years ago that I prayed that, 47 years ago that I prayed that prayer and said, God, I've had life with you and I've had life without you. And God, I don't want to live another moment without you. And in that moment, God met me. He came so, so close. And what I felt from him that moment was the smile of approval, where the Spirit just said, welcome home. And I would pray that today, that if there is a gap or a distance between you and God, that in this moment you would just close it. I'm just going to invite you just for the next 10 seconds to just in your mind's eye, look toward him. Just look toward him. Say, God, is there anything that's right now standing between you and me? Is there anything I need to lay down or let go of, repent of? Holy Spirit, come close. God, may we feel just your tangible presence in this place. We've already invited you to come, Holy Spirit. And we ask again that you would just come, draw close. God, you're so close to the brokenhearted. I feel like someone in this room today is just carrying a deep grief. And that grief is making it hard for you to look toward God right now. I don't know if it's a sense of disappointment or just an overwhelming sadness, and it's creating a barrier, and I feel like God is saying, will you just put it in my hands and I'll hold it for you? He's here. God, thank you for your presence with us. Thank you that you have invited us to be so close to your heart. And so, God, in this moment, as we are gathered in your presence, would you just meet with us again as only you can? Come close, Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.